Views and opinions of the following paid programming show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Spirit 1340 WYCB, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
Welcome to the Senior Zone,
where we connect older adults with the organizations and resources that serve them.
The Senior Zone's goal,
while working with local and national partners,
aims to educate, empower, enlighten, entertain, and engage older adults with the tools and information to stay healthy, happy, and secure.
Great guests, health tips, upcoming events, and useful information.
So get ready to take notes
and have some fun.
It's now time
for the Senior Zone.
What does a shave and a haircut and colorectal cancer screenings have in common? You're about to find out on today's show. Good morning, everyone. I'm your host, Sean Perry, and along with my partner in time, the legendary Captain Fly, we say thank you for tuning in to the Senior Zone, where it's our mandate to discover the topics and discuss the critical issues facing seniors today. As we always do, we work to impact, influence, and improve the quality of life for each and every senior. Why? Simply because we care. Today's calling number is 240-638-5430. One more again, 240-638-5430. To follow us online, go to theseniorzone.com. That's www.theseniorzone.com. Today on the Senior Zone, barbershops and colon cancer, and what do they have in common? With me today is Dr. Frank Brown. He is the Senior Medical Director at Cigna. Dr. Brown has been the Senior Medical Director with Cigna since 2011. He currently serves as the Market Medical Executive for Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. Prior to joining Cigna, Dr. Brown spent 30 years as a physician executive, 13 of which were spent at WellPoint out of Richmond, Virginia, I believe. In addition, he conducted clinical research in sickle cell anemia at the National Institutes of Health and was director of emergency medicine at Washington Hospital Center. Good morning and welcome, Dr. Brown.
Good morning, Sean. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on to the Senior Zone. I'm excited about speaking with you shortly. In addition, we have Dr. Stephen Thomas. He's the founding director of the Maryland Center for Health Equity and Professor of Health Services Administration in the School of Public Health. Dr. Thomas is one of the nation's leading scholars on community-based interventions to eliminate racial and ethnic health disparities, including obesity, diabetes, hypertension, HIV/AIDS, and violence. He is the principal investigator of the Center of Excellence on Race, Ethnicity, and Disparity Research, which was funded by NIH National Institute on Minority Health and Health Disparities. Good morning and welcome to you, Dr. Thomas.
Good morning. It's an honor to be here.
It's an honor to have both of you here in studio on the Senior Zone, and I look forward to this conversation, but more importantly, you know, shedding light, increasing awareness within the African-American community with regards to colon cancer. So I just want to jump right into it, but first I want to paint a picture for our listeners. Some may not even know what colon cancer is or even where the colon is, you know, out there. So if one of you can, let's talk about just what is colon cancer and how is it affecting us?
So I'll take that, Sean. It's really great to be with the senior audience this morning, and my hope is that whatever you learn today that you will share with a friend. To Sean's question, let's go all the way back. Cancer is the abnormal growth of cells. Cancer can either be benign, which means it has no consequence other than the growing of those cells, or malignant, meaning that it can eventually kill you. Colon cancer is the colon is that your large intestine, and it includes the rectum as well. And what happens is there's a small growth that begins. It's very slow growing, those abnormal cells. And if those cells are not removed, they will become cancer. So why are we talking about it today? In the African-American community, there's a lot of colon cancer is very, very prevalent. In fact, in the Washington, D.C. area, a 2011 CDC report showed that this was the highest incidence of colon cancer in the United States, right here in Washington, D.C. And so it's very, very critical that we understand the need to detect and remove colon cancer, because colon cancer is one of two preventable cancers. That means that if you can remove the cancer, you are cured. Those two cancers are colon cancer and cervical cancer. So early detection and removal is critical to success. From an African-American perspective, there's something called health disparities, and this has to do with the fact that in our communities, we get we don't have the same access to health, and we don't have the same outcomes of health. And that's due to the social determinants of health, where we're born, where we grow, live, work, the access to health care. All of this can be reversed if we get educated and seek health care aggressively to get the necessary treatments. For the population in general, age 50 is considered the age at which you should get a colon cancer screening called colonoscopy. That's where a scope is inserted into the rectum, and the doctor is able to look at your colon to determine if any of those polyps are there, and if so, they'll remove those polyps, and that's curing you of cancer. African Americans, the suggestion is age 45. Because of the higher incidence of colon cancer in African Americans, it's 5 years earlier.
So I don't mean to interrupt you, Dr. Burns. Does that mean then, you know, with the target going from 50 to 45, are our risk factors, now what are our risk factors that's determining why we, you know, should have this screening, you know, instead of 50 at the age of 45?
So again, it affects our race more so than other races. And the factors are many. Obesity, sedentary lifestyle, eating a lot of red meat, not eating vegetables and fibers and whole grains, inactivity. All of these are factors which can increase the incidence of colon cancer. So in the African-American community, we need to get screened earlier. And the point I was going to make is, should there be a history of family polyps, you should get your colon screening 10 years before the youngest person in the family was diagnosed with those polyps. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if the youngest person in the family was age 40, you should get yours at age 30. This is a very, very important guideline about colon cancer because, again, it is one of the two preventable cancers and the third leading cause of death in all Americans.
Sure. If you have neglected to get a screening and you're now in your 40s, in your 50s, you know, are there, you know, and you don't know what your status is with respect to colon cancer, are there certain symptoms now that we can share with our listeners that may not have had an exam, but they may have some of the symptoms of colon cancer? Can you share what some of those symptoms
are? So some of those symptoms, abdominal pain, bleeding from the rectum, loss of weight, change in appetite, change in the diameter of the stool when one goes to the bathroom, seeing that the stool becomes thinner, meaning that there's an obstruction that's creating that thinness in the stool.
Okay. And so I asked that question because there are many out there, and that's why we're going to talk about the program that you started, that haven't went through the screening process yet. But they may be experiencing some of the symptoms that you just described. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that they may have heard that today, and that's their trigger for getting an exam, because it still may not be too late because they may have the symptoms, correct?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So lastly, I know there's many screening methods, but colonoscopy is the screening method of choice.
Of choice. It's the gold standard,
yes. It's the gold mm-hmm. standard. But are there anything that we can do to prevent colon cancer? I know you mentioned diet, exercise, and nutrition. Beyond that, is there anything else that we can do to be just to make sure that we don't, you know, fall into that category of having colon cancer?
Well, to be honest, a healthy lifestyle is always beneficial for all disease, and that's what I would encourage. But the next best thing is to make sure you routinely get screened for colon cancer, because you can have a silent colon cancer. Mm-hmm. You can have a colon cancer and not be aware at all. So you need to get screened.
Yeah.
It's critical.
I'm going to bring in my, our good friend over here, Dr. Dr. Thomas, with that being said, Dr. Thomas, you know, we now know what colon cancer is, what to look for, how to screen for it, you know, how to live a little better to prevent it. With that being said, you started the program because many of us aren't taking heed to what Dr. Brown just talked about. And so it's created a necessity, I'm assuming, on your part to increase awareness because many of us are dying from this.
Well, you know, it's I don't know when the last time on your radio station you talked about we all talk about what we eat. We get up in the morning, we brush our teeth. But when's the last time you're on a radio show talking about what happens in the bathroom? So that gives you an idea of the challenge here. We've known for over 20 years this is not new information. Mm-hmm. And the question is, why is it that our community, the black community, is not getting the message? And so on the show today, you have two responses to that. You have the medical expertise here in Dr. Brown and the Cigna Corporation. And I come from the School of Public Health. You know, our job is to make it plain, to reach the people where they can understand it, and to tailor the message in a way that is unique to their cultural setting. You can't just take brochures off the shelf of the American Cancer Society and put black faces on them, or just take them off the shelf and put them in Spanish. You actually have to do cultural tailoring. And more importantly, we have found that the first thing we have to do is build trust. Many African Americans don't trust the message. And the question is it what we're saying to them, or is it the messenger? And sometimes it's both. Mm-hmm. There's been a history of racism and discrimination in this country that not only we're seeing it play out on the news in the context of criminal justice, but it's also played out in our healthcare delivery system. And so over a decade ago, we began exploring how can trusted venues like a black barbershop and beauty salon, mm-hmm. the same institutions in some ways that have had a role to play throughout our history in this country, from slavery to freedom through the civil rights movement, these have been important venues. And I'll never forget myself being in the barbershop, and somebody came in who hadn't been around for a while. And as you know, I got some black men in the audience here, ladies and gentlemen. They know what it's like being in a barbershop. Everybody's talking, radio's on, TV's on, but everyone's also listening. And Joe came in, I'll change his name to protect him, and they said, "Where you been, Joe?" He says, I've been in the hospital. They told me I had a heart attack, and they kept me in for 3-4 days. And he's sitting in a chair, and he's talking to the barber, and he says, "The doctor told me I'm going to have to take these pills." And the barber says to him, "Joe, if you take those pills, you won't be able to keep up your obligations." And at that moment, everybody in the shop's listening. Mm-hmm. Now, ladies in the audience out there, you know what obligations are? Everybody in the shop knew.
Yeah.
Erectile dysfunction is one of the side effects. And at that moment, I said, what if the barber was a partner? What if he said, "Listen, tell your doctor you're having side effects. They can change the medication." And that began our campaign to bring barbers and stylists as partners in our health promotion disease prevention campaign. We know now more than we've ever known about how to actually prevent death and promote health. And we now have to take that message into our community in ways that people understand.
Yeah, and I think, I don't mean to interrupt, Dr. Thompson, but and I think, you know, what you started, we're going to talk about the program and what it's called, is such a creative platform that mobilizes, barbershops and hair salons, because most of us frequent, you know, those establishments on a regular, consistent, you know, basis. And it's I call it the hub of our community where we all go. So talk to me about the program itself. Let's dive a little bit into the program. What is it called, and how are you mobilizing and using these venues to minimize the risk of colon cancer, increase awareness, et cetera? You know, and how are barbers and hair salon folks responding to this as well?
Well, you know, Sean, no self-respecting black barber would ever say, "I'll get you in and out in 15 minutes, you know? So a black man knows that if he's going to the shop and his wife or partner knows, okay, I'll see you a little bit later, because he's going to be there for a while. And it is that kind of time that you spend in the shop waiting for your turn in the chair, catching up on the game, that we can save lives.
And that's the whole point. Our project is called HARE, Health Advocates in Reach, Reaching in Our Community, and Research, because we also need to understand how to spread this message across the country. Health Advocates in Reach and Research, HARE. And like I say, we've been in the vineyards for a while, and it's really, to me, the partnership with Cigna that is the turning point. Here's an insurance company that's recognizing in the era of the Affordable Care Act, the new paradigm is to actually prevent disease. Yeah, absolutely. In the old paradigm, everybody made money when we were sick. The new paradigm and moving forward is keep people healthy.
There was no ownership for outcomes, pre-Affordable Care Act.
The more you did, the more you got paid.
The more you did, the more testing you got, but the outcome could have been just as worse, mm-hmm. the same, mm-hmm. no improvement in outcome. So, Dr. Brown, how do you see this program, expanding beyond the region of D.C. and Maryland? Because this message that you guys have, will resonate whether it's California, Texas, Florida, the North Pacific, throughout the entire country. Do you see this really, growing? I do.
Well, let me say something before you put it on my corporate partner here, okay. Because now that we have rolled this out, that's exactly what's happening. Phone calls from around the country, and we're trying to put them in a little parking lot, because the idea here about sustainability is understanding what works. So here in the metro area, we have 10 shops in Maryland and D.C. And right now, in fact, today, my graduate students at the University of Maryland School of Public Health in College Park are going through the training. And later this month and in July, the barbers go through their formal training. These over 40 barbers will be trained as lay health advocates. And they'll go through a formal training about what is colon cancer, all these things you've heard about, the risk factors. And they're not health professionals, but they're advocates to say, hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
And even for them to get screened themselves. And more importantly, to make those barbershops also places where accurate information can be found. Sometimes you go into a place and they got, beet juice. There's nothing wrong with natural remedies now. But every now and then, you need to actually talk to a doctor. Mm. You need to get your screening done.
Let me ask you this, Dr. Thomas, and I appreciate, what you guys are doing, and I'm all in with it. I've seen it, out at the lounge on 8th Street in Northeast D.C., but I wonder why within our community we're reluctant, hesitant to even get screenings. Why the need for this program? Well, I know we need it, but why the need? Why within our community are we dying from something that is preventable? Is it stigma? Just what is it?
Well, I'm going to mention it from a public health perspective, and then I'm going to ask Dr. Brown from his clinical experience, because this phenomena, you can pick a whole number of cancers. Breast cancer, colon cancer, you can pick heart disease, type 2 diabetes. We're at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. So it's a combination of things. Yes, we as a community have a responsibility to take control of our own health. But the other part of this equation are institutions, our healthcare delivery institutions, that have a history of institutional racism that has made it unfriendly for our communities. Their experience in interacting with those systems have made them reluctant. And depending on age and your audience, I'm in the senior zone, right?
Yes, you are.
You got members of your audience who even remember the Tuskegee syphilis study.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in the collective memory of our community. Be wary. Be hesitant. And so until we address the issues of discrimination in our healthcare delivery system, as well as empowering our own community to go in and take charge of their own health, we think that that's two parts of the solution. And you have that represented here on your show.
So Dr. Brown, with that being said, why does Cigna have the focus now on health disparities? What is that all about, if you can share that with our listeners?
Surely. So Cigna is more than an insurance company. Cigna is a health services company. We partner with doctors to share patient-specific information that allows them to make a better treatment plan. And then we partner to engage patients in the treatment plan to get that value-based outcome that you and Dr. Thomas were talking about. I trained here in Washington at George Washington University many, many years ago, and I can remember making rounds and just writing orders, activity-based orders. Chest x-ray every other day, urinalysis every Friday, CBC, complete blood count, every Wednesday. And this was done because we thought we were treating the patient. It wasn't done because we were trying to be mischievous and irresponsible. We thought we were treating the patient. But what we've learned through studies is that there are certain protocols and guidelines that, when followed, optimize the outcome and minimize the waste. As Dr. Thomas mentioned earlier, that Tuskegee study was very, very damaging to African-American trust in the healthcare system. I was fortunate enough to train at a Ivy League institution, and I remember making the observation that many of the major institutions, Johns Hopkins, Harvard, Yale, these all existed on the fringe of the African-American community. These large buildings and complexes were there. And the patients who came there were often African-American patients. And depending on their experience, that became family lore. So if I had a good experience, I shared that. But if I had a bad experience, I shared that. And then someone else, you know, bad news travels. Mm-hmm. So it's just really important that we put the past behind us and look forward. I admire the work that Dr. Thomas has done, starting in Pittsburgh, and he's rolling it out. We're actually trying to expand. We'd like to talk to the pastor about moving into Gaithersburg. Dr. Thomas and I talked about another venue in Chestertown, Maryland. You know, he's the spearhead of this, and he's done an outstanding job, and we're happy to partner with him. But Cigna has a mission to improve the security and safety and well-being of all of its insureds. And so when my colleague met with Dr. Thomas, we decided we wanted to back him in this effort. And if I'm not mistaken, this is one of the first grants that you had of this nature. Is that true?
Yeah, this is the first time we've actually had an award from a corporation.
Yeah.
And I think it was significant.
Oh, yeah, it's not trivial. $200,000 can go a long way over 2 years.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, you asked a question about expanding. So the research part of this is understanding the protocol, the training of the barbers. And as Dr. Brown mentioned, one of the things my graduate students will do is what's called family health histories. So everybody who is enrolled will get a family health history. They'll interview them about causes of disease and illness and death in the family, at least 3 generations. And here's the part that's missing. A lot of these things are secrets in our community. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows how Auntie died. Nobody knows how Grandma died. And you're Dr. Brown say, if someone in your family had a polyp, a colon cancer at age 30, that has implications for when you should be screened.
Absolutely.
So if we don't know our history, we're missing the boat, because the best science today tells us early detection is the key.
Yes.
If I get it early, mm-hmm. I can save your life.
Particularly when it comes to colon cancer and cervical cancer, as I just learned mm-hmm. today as well. So we understand that diet, exercise, nutrition, and early detection mm-hmm. is absolute key. That's going to keep us around, keep us safe, keep the men in the families. This is a social issue as well, mm-hmm. because you know, many of us, you know, have died at quite, and you guys know this much better than I do, at very young ages, you know, in our 40s and 50 years old, when we're still, you know, the breadwinners or contributing to the household. Now you just take that member out of the household for something that's preventable. You know, in my mind is, I don't want to say shameful, but that's the word that's coming up. But, you know, it doesn't have to be an excuse.
Yeah, we would say that it is scientifically unacceptable, and that's what corporations like Cigna are saying, unacceptable and morally unacceptable.
Yeah.
Because, see, the President of the United States, in passing the Affordable Care Act, here's the key. The Affordable Care Act has provisions for what's called essential services. One of the essential services is colonoscopies and colon cancer screening, which means it comes at no additional cost.
Absolutely.
So now the economic barrier has been removed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for those that are 65 and older, Medicare card-carrying folks, those screenings do come at no cost as well. So it includes those that are 65 and older and those that fall under the Affordable Care Act as well, those preventive screenings. What I want to do now is switch gears a little bit because we are running out of time.
We're running out of time.
It flies. But I want to give you an opportunity to maybe send some shout-outs to some of the barbers that are participating in this program. If there's any grandmothers, grandfathers who are listening that have a son or a daughter who owns a barbershop or a hair salon and they want to become involved with this program, how can they reach out to you and express their interest, and then you guys can gauge whether it's a good fit or not.
Well, let me just say thank you very much for the time. We know that Black Radio is a critical message for our community, and earlier someone made reference to it as the Underground Railroad. I think that our path to freedom is now in the arena of health. Our path to freedom is in the arena of health because we cannot have the fruits of freedom if we don't live long enough. And so we now have to get the message to our community in ways that change the paradigm. So what we're doing is doing the kind of research that enables us to spread this around the country. This is a 2-year project. And for those listening, all they have to do is go to Google on the internet and just type in Center for Health Equity. And our site will come up, and that will take them right to the place.
So for our tech-savvy folks out there, go to Center for Equity. Center for Health Equity, and that will pop all the contact information, and they can learn more about it.
We have a Twitter feed, UMD Health Equity. The UMD stands for University of Maryland, UMD Health Equity. And to use all those mechanisms, and for your listeners 65 and over, to tell their children and grandchildren the importance of being screened and having a medical home.
We need to have a Take Your Loved One to the Doctor Day, as another broadcast has, at 45.
Absolutely.
You know, take your loved one for a colonoscopy or a cervical screening, you know, day, you know, here in our community. Maybe you guys can...
Well, we call it Take a Health Professional to the People Day. And we use the barbershops to bring a whole range of health professionals into the shops to begin that conversation, to build that trust.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank each of you for coming on to the Senior Zone. Dr. Brown, any last remarks?
Last remarks are, if you've learned anything today, please tell someone, your loved ones, those in your community, those in church, et cetera, because this is critical information. Colonoscopy is essential to prevent colon cancer.
And let me just say one more thing about my partner here, Cigna. When we first started this, it was about raising awareness and then telling people, go get your care. But as we started and they saw firsthand, they reached out to one of the clinical partners, Capital Digestive Care, which is one of the largest gastroenterology practices here in our region, and they have come on board. So now we can actually direct people to the actual gastroenterologist to get the care. And they're taking their physicians and bringing them into the barbershop so they can become more culturally aware and culturally sensitive. We're changing the paradigm, Sean.
I appreciate it. I admire, I applaud, and truly appreciate, you know, your efforts for trying to increase awareness and put an end to this disease, at least put a significant dent into it within our community. So thank you guys very much.
Be sure to join us on our next broadcast.
Until then,
live simply,
love generously,
care deeply,
speak kindly,
and leave the rest to God. Have a wonderful week, and God willing, the Senior Zone will be here for another informative and entertaining hour next Monday morning at 10 a.m.